Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, artists and warriors alike. My name is Jared, and with me today, the one who paints her artistry through music, Anna.
Hello.
We will be your hosts for the episode. We are honored and grateful that you have joined us here at our table. Today, we are at the Two Top table as we take a look at React, the Art of War, designed by Chris Lin, Ming Yang Lin, and Eric Zerengu. I apologize if I butchered that. Artwork created by Eoxtix and Ian Olympia, and published by Brother Ming Games.
React, the Arts of War, is an asymmetric two-player 1v1 dueling card game where each player takes on the role of artists, infused with magical powers that take on different forms to match their art styles and complete their masterpiece artwork. React looks to combine the play of trading card games and building your deck that goes together with grid-based dueling and movement. It requires deep, strategic thinking. Does this game paint a masterpiece?
Mm-mm.
Find out as we react. This game.
All right, Anna.
Yes, Jared.
So we always start with a question, a personal question, because really the people are here for us, not for the games. Makes sense.
Yes.
Very good.
And we're here to blast our personality over the internet.
Of course, like everybody else in 2026. I am curious. You have some artistic talent, like I alluded to in the intro, of music. And I have very limited artistic talent anywhere. But if you were to pick one artistic talent that you could become a genius and aficionado in, what would it be?
I mean, it would be music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, there was a time in my life where I thought that music was the one thing I really wanted to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you probably remember me just trying to take all these college music classes.
Yep.
In conjunction with working full time as you were trying to go through your degree. Anyway.
What a joyful time.
It didn't work, but I did enjoy the journey.
My degree or?
Well, yeah. And me doing music classes. And I was writing music with a lot of people during that time.
Uh-huh.
It was really fun.
It was good.
It was fun. But I realized that I'm somebody that enjoys the communal aspect of playing music with other people. And I never had a ton of motivation to pursue it for just hours a day on my own, I think is where that happened. And I think a true artist enjoys the art itself
the
so much that they will just pursue it for
forever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what they can do. So that's when I realized that music is a hobby, not a career for me, and
that's
I can
fair.
Still enjoy it that way.
Yep.
And I think you're selling yourself short because I happen to know that
this is an act of betrayal.
Artist yourself through the art of poetry.
Specifically middle school poetry.
Specifically love poetry.
Oh, this is...
As I have experienced some of your artistry.
Oh, my.
Myself. So I believe you need to tell our listeners about that.
I don't know what there is to tell. I know how to use the internet to help me learn rhyming words.
What?
I flow.
You rhyme all by yourself.
I flow my poems through the motivation of love and awe.
And rap music.
And my history of listening to a lot of rap music in high school. And it's for nobody else. So chalk this up as top three most embarrassing moments on this podcast in 2.5 years.
What?
No one needs to know about my poetry, so we'll just move right along. If I were to pick an art form.
Oh my goodness. You're just pivoting right off of your poetry.
That's true. Yes.
Wow.
But if I could be excellent at any art form, it's interesting because I think I would choose. Well, I'm torn. So I very different from you, see the artistry as like a tool. Like you see it as a tool to be, like you're talking about, to be in the community and to like engage in that way.
Yeah.
I see it as like a very, this would be a very handy skill to have to do other things, not just for the thing. Like, for example, one of them would be dancing. I would love to be an incredible dancer because you like dancing.
I do.
And so that would be a fun thing to do together. I would love to.
One might argue that I've studied dancing a little bit more even on my own than I've studied music on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably true.
That's a good point. Yeah.
But I would love to know how to draw. But I want to know how to draw so that I can bring my ideas to life in like RPG games or things like that. Not because I just want to know how to draw. And painting would kind of fall in that too. But I've always been more drawn to drawing than painting. And then on the other side of it, I think it, like, the people that know how to animate, whether through video games or like animation shows or things like that, I've always find that really awesome. That might be the one that like I would want to do it just for the sake of being able to do it. I don't know.
Animators are crazy.
It's wild.
I've heard that they have crazy hours, though. Like, it takes
forever to do what they do.
Insane.
So it's insane.
That's off. Like,
I have mad respect for anyone who can do artwork at a decent to incredible level. That's a wide range. But it's not something I've ever understood really well how to do. And I definitely don't have the patience for it. So I don't know. The other thing, if I could paint, then I could paint minis, which would make all of our board games look a lot cooler. So there's lots of things that, like, it would be cool to have this.
You're just wanting to use the art, not.
I know. I'm seeing it as a skill instead of experience. You're right.
Yeah.
So I'm not. This is a bad question for me because I didn't answer it right, but that's okay.
But in this game.
In the game.
You are taking on a character that has a specific art form that is their power.
That's right.
It's 1v1, and you play on a grid of, I think it's like 5 squares by 6 squares. Mm-hmm. And so each of you start at either end, and you're going for each other and trying to attack each other with your artist powers. There are 8 different artists in this box, and each of them play very, very differently in terms of their strategy, what they're, you know, the best way to kind of get in and attack. But typically, an artist will have a deck of cards that will have certain powers that kind of go together. And some artists, in fact, many of the artists will also have summons or other cards in front of them that will either give them power in front of them or can actually be added to the grid and can affect the play on the grid.
And summons are just minions or things like that that you summon onto the board.
Yeah, sometimes they're minions, sometimes they're pieces of art that provide special power-ups. And sometimes it's things that can actually attack the other person. Sometimes it's just things that are like almost like booby traps. If they step on it, something happens. So lots of different things, but most of them will have at least some way to impact board play like that and some kind of a deck of cards that gives them different actions. In addition to that, each artist is also trying to complete their masterpiece. So each artist has a set of 3 cards that go together to create a picture that reflects some aspect of their artistry. And they are trying to complete a set where all 3 of them are in the right order and complete the picture. And then the artist gets to ascend, which means they get to flip their card over and they get some extra special power-ups. And it is super cool. So.
Usually. All the time.
Yes. So at the start of your turn, you're usually drawing a card and then playing a card onto your masterpiece. But it's not quite so simple as just playing 3 turns and then you've got your masterpiece in order because you are competing on a 5.
It's a 1x5.
Yeah, on a 1x5 grid where you're putting your masterpiece cards down, but the other person could put theirs down and block you. And there's certain rules about if the 5 spaces get filled up because obviously you've each got 3 cards. So there are 6 that have to go down. And there's some rules about if the 5 spaces get filled up, what happens? And you can replace one of your mm-hmm. person's card, or you can swap places with one of your cards. And so we won't go into that, but there's a way you can play a masterpiece card every single turn, even when the 5 spaces are filled up.
And just to clarify, you have your basic 5x6, which is where the action is taking place. This is a separate 1x5 grid where the masterpiece duel is happening.
Yes.
And once someone's masterpiece is completed, it comes off. So that there is more room at that point as well to make it a little bit easier for the other player. And then Anna's going to also talk about a third 1x5 grid where the actions take place, but it's separate. Both are separate.
Yeah, so you've got your big board, which is your battle arena, and then you've got the grid for playing Masterpiece, and then you've got the grid for playing cards, which we'll talk about in a second. So at the start of every person's turn, you're drawing a card. And at the start of your turn, you're both drawing a card and playing a card from your Masterpiece. And the cards that you will have in your hand have three different types of actions on them. Some of them are passive actions, which means they just kind of, you know, happen passively. Some of them are intentions, and only the active player can play intentions. Mm-hmm. And so that's usually how an active player will start. They'll play a card that has an intention on it, and they'll play it in the first card slot on the action planning grid where the cards get laid down. After that, only reactions can be played, hence the name of the game, React. So active player plays an intention, the other player can play a reaction, and you go back and forth until both of you pass and do not want to play any more cards. Then the cards happen with the actions and reactions you said were going to happen on the cards, but they happen in reverse order from what they were laid. So the intention that was played at the start is going to happen very, very last. So there's this action planning part of this game where as you're playing cards, you've got to imagine them happening in reverse order as different figures will move around the grid so that hopefully at the end you can still punch your opponent one.
Just to clarify, too, you can react to your own intention.
Yes.
So if you're,
that's what I said. Both people have to pass.
Right, but your opponent could pass. You could keep reacting multiple times before actually finishing the chain.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So you're not just limited to the cards in your hand, because remember, you're only getting one card on your opponent's turn and one card on your turn, and they disappear very, very quickly. There's not a way to draw cards apart from just one and one, except for some special character abilities. But your character card will also usually have an intention and a reaction. And any summons cards or other cards that you may have in front of you can also have summons and reactions. You just got to tap them and make them be used if you use them. You can't use them multiple times in one round.
They're exhausted. Wizards of the Coast will come after you if you use that word.
No, I'm saying like we tap them. We kind of make them, turn them sideways to make sure.
No tapping.
All right, we don't tap them. We put our finger on them like this and turn them.
Exhaust them.
Yes. All right.
It's a serious thing.
Okay, I'm so serious about this. All right. And then that's the basic gameplay. We're not going to go super into what each artist and how they play, because they all play very, very differently. But big picture, that's what you're doing. Once you sock your opponent three times, which means that you turn over their masterpiece and you gray out their masterpiece three times, so all their masterpieces grayed out and all their art has just lost all its color and life.
Not in a cool vintage kind of way either.
No, in a sad dying of the art kind of way.
Yes.
Then you win. So let's talk about this game.
All right, let's do it. All right, Anna. So this is a game about artists fighting each other, so we would be remiss if we did not discuss the artwork in the game.
Yeah.
And I do want to clarify, we are reviewing the standard version of this game. It was a Kickstarter project, and so there is a deluxe Kickstarterified edition, which is available for purchase, but we have the standard version. So just make that aware on the front end, as that is where our opinions are coming from. So Anna, what are your thoughts on the art?
Well, the art style, as you can probably tell from the box cover, is very kind of anime inspired. Mm-hmm. And it is a great choice. Yes. And so because of that, you can get very surreal looking characters with their hair and their blades and they're rising to glory. So I thought that was a really wonderful choice for the art. It makes the art, again, beautiful, artistic looking. I appreciated the fact that the art is cohesive throughout each artist. And so
that's true.
Yes. Yeah. And so the tattooist has a certain style art to their art because they're a tattooist. The calligrapher has a certain style to all of her cards, her character, her summons. Her masterpiece is a set of calligraphy that she's trying to complete. And so I appreciated that too, the consistency of the art style within the artist itself. But then, of course, the whole thing being encapsulated in this kind of anime style. So it was beautiful, beautiful artwork. Very sad when your masterpiece gets grayed out, actually, honestly, to be. Yeah, because even if you just turn over one part of your masterpiece and it gets grayed out.
Almost worse than dying.
I mean, you can still ascend, but just like, is it even worth it? It's just so sad for it to be gray. Yeah.
Still want to ascend.
I'm just saying, not being able to see the art is sad.
I agree, because that was actually where I was going to jump into first. That was what I gravitated to immediately each time I had a new artist was, oh, what does their masterpiece look like? Each piece was super cool, especially with that kind of panorama, bring the pieces together style. And I love that everybody's vibe is very different, even though we're all within the anime, like Anna said.
Well, and some of the pieces and the summons were cool. Was it the tagger that had like sidewalk squares that he could paint different?
They were like the way to power up his abilities.
Yeah. But like his tiles were like different works of art that you could put around. Yeah. And that was, it was really,
the animator
really cool.
The animator also had things like that where they were
programming
in different art pieces onto the board their summons, which was also really
It was really cool.
And then also, like, that's the other thing I'll say. We'll get into the gameplay part of it in a minute. But from an artwork perspective, it's not just pretty pictures on the cards. The artistry of how that artwork flows into the game is also there. Mm-hmm. So I really like that as well.
Yeah, it's not just pretty to be pretty. There's a purpose for it.
That's
game.
Right.
Yeah.
Even the effects of the different cards flow with those particular artists. So I do like that. I will say in this, I hate that I have to say this. I feel like you have to get the deluxe version of this game. With it being a game that's about art, I really want it to be pretty on the table. And in the standard version, the boards that you play on, I understand. There's this idea that you're playing on a blank canvas and you're creating the art. I can understand that and appreciate that. But at least in our standard box, like it's just a gray grid, and there were even scuffs and spots on the board where that was already coming up and it just didn't look very good. In the deluxe version, you're using acrylic tokens for your various pieces and they stand up straight and they look super cool and you're moving them around the board. I can see, like, on the internet, it looks awesome. Ours don't even have stands, so they lay flat. The standard version doesn't even have stands. It just lays flat. So it just doesn't have quite the pop that you would want in a game that involves artistry. So I do want to mention that. Like, if you want this game to really shine on the table, I really think it's worth the investment to go above to get that little bit more. But then, obviously, you're paying more for it, so that's something to keep in mind as well.
But again, if you're buying a game about art,
you already know.
Yeah, you probably want it to be pretty when you're doing it.
That's right.
And it was pretty, but it was laying down cardboard on a grid and cards.
So
if you have other components that make it feel more artistic, I think that's good. Now, I will say, in terms of components, the components in the box are very well organized. They've got every single... What? You disagree?
I do. And this is a great point.
I need to finish my sentence before you disagree
with
me. All
right, I'm going to let her finish her sentence, but I'm going to disagree because Anna did not have the first experience of opening this game. So you go ahead and finish, and then I'll tell the truth about what's going on with this game.
All right. Well, I don't know the first experience of opening the game, but I do know that the way the game is designed to fit into the box, you have each artist in its own box. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that made it very well organized. And even the difficulty levels, you said not to show things.
You can show it. It's okay.
So each artist is in its own box. You have their picture on the front and a little bit about them on the back. And you even have difficulty levels in terms of, like, difficulty 3 out of 5, complexity, number of all-nighters.
The bottom one's all just for fun.
That's for fun because it's an animator. And like we said, animators have demanding jobs,
it's,
you know?
Very true.
But I appreciated that. I appreciate being able to open the box and see everything laid out. I can pick the character. I can know a little bit about the character. And I thought it was organized well. But it sounds like maybe you did some of the organization yourself.
When you cracked the shrink on this beloved game, I would go ahead and have Netflix queued up and be ready to watch a couple episodes because one of the issues, I'm torn because I agree. Once it's done, it's super cool how it all sits in the box in these little boxes where I can just, me and my opponent can pull out the two that we want, crack it open.
And even know what you're pulling out when you pull it out.
Yeah.
Like a little bit about how it plays and stuff.
Once it's in, it makes sense. But before that, when you open the box and none of your tuck boxes are actually put together yet, and all of your cardboard is still in the punch outs and all the decks are mixed together, I would say I spent over an hour and had to look up links on BGG and other places to figure out what went with what, because there's just not a good reference of what goes where. I thought I could just wing it and figure it out, and had to go back and correct a few things because I just wasn't right. So the barrier to get started is definitely there. I would plan a separate session to open and organize the box before I have a first play session. And that's going to get into...
That's true, because you were already slightly frustrated, I think, the first time that we played.
Yeah.
And we were trying to figure out, because all of the characters, all the artists are so different, that when we opened our two boxes and I didn't even have a deck of cards for my first one, I was like, what is happening? Like, where are all my parts?
Right.
And we were looking up, again, lists online of components, trying to figure out what went with what. It made getting into it, like, both of us were already a little bit frazzled before we played our first game. Now,
it's just something to be aware of.
Yeah, just to be aware of. It wasn't fun when we did end up playing the game, but
I will say this, it was hard to get into. Stage one of this game is a commitment. Yeah. And that is what is I have to strain throughout this review. It is a commit. This game is a full commit. If you're okay with that, then I think you're going to like a lot in this game.
Yeah.
So we'll keep going. But just from a component and artworks perspective, it's a little bit of a slog to get it up and going at the start.
So the next thing I'd like to talk about, though, is the ease of entry with the actual just rules themselves.
Okay.
Because there was some intimidation on the front end because, again, the characters play very, very differently. And the rule book is written with kind of like a standard character. Well, I mean, it's a character in the box, but it's a standard character and it gives a lot of examples with that character. But then obviously, if you're playing a different character that plays differently, you're having to kind of translate the rule book a little bit. Yeah. So that made our first playthrough a little bit difficult. I remember we read the rule book. Then we were like, then we watched How to Play and it was kind of similar. And then we just stumbled through it. But I'd say about, I don't know, a half, maybe just a third of the way through the first game, it really started to click because they do give a lot of aids of how individual characters play in the box. You've got a whole list of, hey, here's how your cards work together. And you can read that if you'd like to. Here's your character's best play. Like, you're more of a range. You're more of an attack. You want to wait till your opponent does this and then that's your time to strike. And these cards work really well for this stage of the game or that stage of the game. So that was very helpful in learning and getting into it. It would have felt much more insurmountable if there hadn't been all those helps along the way. It still felt a little bit insurmountable because my character wasn't the one represented in the rule book. Neither one of ours were. And so we are trying to figure that part of it out. Now, so that part was difficult.
To clarify before you go on, well, you said it clicked about a third of the way through the game. Are you referring to like the basic understanding of the mechanics and how the mechanics work?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say at least half the game before we finally were like, in a good flow.
Yes, in a good flow of like, okay, my turn, draw a card, play my masterpiece. Here's how some of my cards are going to go together. Yeah. Like, we were not masters of the characters.
No, not even.
We're going to say this game is a commit. It takes a while to be a master of the characters. The characters are all complex, even the ones that are lower difficulty levels.
I would agree.
But we got in a good flow of like, okay, here's how we play the game. Next time we sat down, it was easy to play the game. Next time we sat down, we didn't have to review rules a lot. Because once we were familiar with the gameplay, it was easy to play those characters again. It was easy to pick up another set of characters and be like, okay, I know the framework. Let's see how now my character fits in. And the cards helped with that because the passive, the intention, and the react text on the cards are very clear. They're all distinct colors. And they even have these little markers where you can mark, okay, here's the square that I'm doing with this card. They have two of each one. So like if you're playing the first card, you would put a number one next to that card, and then you take your number one token and say, this is my target area. And so there were a lot of components. The way the cards were arranged and the way some of the components fit in did make gameplay very smooth once you figured out how all those parts work together. So
yeah,
I did want to like put that plug in that I felt like the cards read smoothly. The confusion was not that the wording on the cards was unclear. The confusion was more how the flow of the game itself as a whole was supposed to be for me. I don't know about for you.
I think I disagree in that it was the basic mechanics of how to play are easy to get into after you kind of figure it out. We definitely spent most of the first game like actively talking out to help the other person. Okay, you're going to play this, so I'm allowed to play. And then we would call it what it is, like a reaction.
Right.
And we would keep walking it out to make sure we were on the same page about the right way to play. So, but by game two, we had those basics down. I disagree that it was easy to just get into the next artist. So the game does give you like a, this is how you should play the artist card. And this is kind of a synopsis on the character. And you can give your opponent another card from the deck that says, this is how this person's going to play. And this is how you counter it. So it gives you guides. And in a way, it helps. But I would say anytime we sat down with a new artist, we were probably looking it over for 10, 15, 20 minutes before we actually started playing because we were really trying to figure out how that character plays. And that is obviously, it is a issue more for newer players than it is for an experienced player, because once you know what these things do, then you're really getting into the nitty-gritty of the strategy behind it, which there's a lot of depth there as well.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot.
But back to that commitment idea, you're really having to learn. There's eight characters. And one of the things that I found difficult.
And we played six of them.
Yeah.
Multiple times, because you cannot, I don't think it's possible to know. Well, people are going to challenge me on this, maybe other experienced gamers. But as an experienced gamer who has played other games with characters with different abilities that have to play different ways, yeah. It was not really possible for me to study a character and figure out how it played well until I'd played that character several times.
Yeah.
So we tried out six of the characters and we had to play them three, four times to feel like we really mastered the play style of that character to the way it was supposed to be.
And part of it is, as you're learning these artists, you're going to have to get into the game before you're like, oh, wait, I don't like this strategy. Mm-hmm. This doesn't vibe with what I like to do. And then you're stuck until the end of the game before you can move on to something else. And you will. There's going to be some artists that you're not going to want to go back to. Because yeah. They just play in a way that you don't like playing. But that's, I mean, I feel like that's pretty normal for most trading card games where you have a particular style of play. You build your collection around those types of cards, and that's fine. It's not bad. It's just what it is. And so there are so many things in this game that I'm like, this is not bad, but I wish I knew it before I bought it, because that would make me change how I look at it for me and if I'm interested in that or not. And for some people, they're going to really love it. I think there is a game here for lots of people that are looking for something with amazing depth. So there's that. Like, I just would keep that in mind as we go through this. Anna, before we kind of get into some more of the parts that we might pick at a little bit, what are some of the things that you really enjoy about the game?
Yeah. I mean, I felt like there was a joy, and I'd say my favorite character is probably the first one that I played, which was the painter.
The painter.
And that was one that
is OP.
What?
I mean, it just plays.
I think
that
Jared, yeah, it plays very, very different. That's the one that doesn't even really have a deck of cards that I was looking up. Like, am I missing components? What's going on? But once I got used to playing the painter and played several games with the painter, it was fun because it felt like I had, again, learned a character, you know, gotten used to how that character worked. It actually made me excited then. After I'd played maybe four times or more, I think we played a lot as the painter, it made me excited then to go on and try a different character and get to know another character. That was fun because if you're, I don't know, yeah, immersing yourself in the artwork and the style, and it feels like you're getting to know a new one. And I mean, I like thinky games. I like puzzly kinds of games. And this is it's a puzzle with each character with each artist of how exactly do they play best? What is their art style and how to best utilize that? And it's not a puzzle you figure out one play, which I think presents a fun challenge for people who might want to return to this game over and over again.
Yeah. I mean, I think I've mentioned that on the podcast several times that I am looking for a dueling game that is not a trading card game that Anne and I can both really enjoy. And so I was excited about this one. The theme is super fun, in my opinion. So I was really excited to crack this one open. I love that each, like we've mentioned, that each of the artists play very differently. One of the really fun things about the painter that Anna got to really get to know is you do have access to the full toolkit of the painter pretty much from the beginning of the game because you don't have a deck. Mm-hmm. So you've got everything. And it's just a matter of how you're going to use it together. But each one feeling like when I played the graffiti artist, I felt like I was doing that. I loved the animator, which is one of the ones that I feel like I played better with because I really understood like how all of his stuff worked together and you're like programming these different moves and that sort of thing. And that was cool. And then when I played the dancer, I was like, I'm dancing all over the board. Like I'm actually doing
it. Yeah, you're moving over it.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's fun.
So it really knocks it out of the park in gameplay, which is what you want. You want your game to paint your theme and show you and make you feel and have pretty much all your senses being like, yeah, I'm doing this thing right now. And it does that in this game. It also, in a lot of ways, does have this, I don't want to say endless, but it gives you the option to keep coming back to this game over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Because you will find new strategic depth. Because of the way that the reaction system is set up and the way that it reacts as a last in, first out situation, someone can play an intention card with this whole idea about what they're going to do, and you can turn that on its head, where the one who played the intention is the one that ends up getting played and gets hurt and takes damage based on what kind of reactions are taken. And there's a real board manipulation in knowing when to play what reactions.
Yeah.
So it also, I think it plays longer than most TCGs try to. I would say
We did have some short games.
Yeah, but that was only when like one player played really bad.
It's all right, sweetie.
I know. Guys, I'm trying. But most TCGs, like when you have two experienced players, are trying to get through it in 20 or 30 minutes.
That's true. This is the much longer.
This you're committed to an hour per play because there's not a lot. I mean, there's some aggro decks, but you're really wanting to set yourself up and you're wanting to get that masterpiece going, or you're trying to do this or that, or just navigate the board a little bit. So all different types of play style there. I'm not going to act like there's no aggro, but at the same time, like there's more layers of depth that you're trying to think about with the board aspect that makes it take longer. And you're really thinking about what you want to do. So that's a pro and a con because you get to experience the battle longer, but you're also in it longer. So that's just something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, I would say that there's a pro there in that there's more depth, there's more decision making, there's more to discover about the artist. And it's a con in that it does lend to some analysis paralysis, like taking very long turns or a long time to decide. And there's not any kind of a time component where that would be avoided in the game. So, I will agree with you that the reverse action planning was a very fun component. And well done. I think it was well done in that only reactions can be played after the first intent. I think that was a good way of doing it because it can't go on for too long. And there's a way where you can kind of burn your opponent out of some of their reactions and with some false plays. And then you can just do what you want to after that. And cards are precious commodities, though.
Oh, man.
And so that's a important thing to keep in mind. The other thing that was interesting to me is, like you said, the first thing I go to when I have a new artist is I'm like, oh, what does their masterpiece look like? And that's the fun thing. But the masterpiece is less of the end goal than
it's just
hitting the person three times. All it does is give you a power up. Yep. And so there were some games where it was not as beneficial for me to focus on the masterpiece as it was for me to focus on other things. And that was a little bit counterintuitive to me because it felt like what an artist wants to do is make their masterpiece. And the masterpiece, but what the masterpiece does is all it does is it ascends you, which gives you more power to then go and sock the person some more times. So that's something that surprised me a little bit, that the focus wasn't more on the masterpiece than it actually ends up being.
That's true. I will say, like, it's a very intelligent game. There's a lot going on from the perspective of, well, I already described it, but even like what Anna's talking about there, everything's very counterintuitive. A lot of times on your turn, you can end up feeling picked on and then feel great on your opponent's turn because you're picking on them. And so it just kind of depends on what artist you're playing and what artist they're playing.
And maybe like the art world, there's a lot of failure.
Sure.
There are a whole lot of times where you think you've got the perfect move set up and it doesn't work because your opponent has some reactions or they... And everything is action, or sorry, intention, reaction based.
Yeah.
So you don't get any just movement. You have to have a card that lets you move or a reaction that lets you move. And so in a way, you can sometimes end up feeling stuck. You can end up feeling like, man, I had this grand thing planned and it was a failure. But I almost wonder if that's intentional in the game, because I think that those are things that artists go through.
Sure.
Like having this creative block or having putting their heart into something and it not getting recognized or taking off quite yet. But you got to have kind of a thick skin, because you can have some good plans and they don't work. And
your artist card itself doesn't go away. Like,
yes,
the other cards that you're playing
you
from your deck
yeah.
go out of the game, but your artist card comes back each time. And that's usually how you can continue on top of the masterpiece at the beginning of your turn. You can accelerate your masterpiece faster through the artists themselves on their card. And it also is a way to kind of move around the board if that's something that your character really needs to do. Usually their character card will do that as well, or their summons or whatever. So with that, Anna, let's get into it, because I've got a lot of thoughts about things that it's not a slam dunk for me. And I wanted to really preface, this is a smart game. This is a complex game. This is a commitment game. And if that's something that you're looking forward to,
it probably would be a slam dunk for you.
Then I think it is a slam dunk. And I think it's something that, like, my opinions will not affect your perspective on this game. But if you're not that, then I think some of these might be valid. So I'm curious for you, Anna, are there things that don't really work?
Well, okay, so what I was talking about at the end of the frustration of setting things up and it not working, that was hard for me in the game, because if the strategy is figuring out the strategy of the character, working the cards together, like in a trading card game, that should have worked. But then so many times it didn't. So that was hard. You kind of leave the game feeling beat down if you're one that loses, and even if you're the one that wins, you might feel beat down, because the vast majority of what you're trying to do will not work if you're playing against somebody who has good reactions and is also playing well. So that was interesting, that just the tiniest percentage of your hits actually make it through, even though you've got to have this grand plan of how everything fits together every single time. I liked the intelligence of it. I liked the figuring out the play style of each character. I loved how asymmetrical the characters are. So you've really actually got to learn a completely new game every single time you've got a character. I think that would only work if you kind of had somebody on the same level as you with your intelligence of play, and somebody that was also learning characters. This isn't something I could just bring to friends in game nights and just sit down and play with somebody. They would be crushed because I would know a character better than they would, or whatever.
I already don't want to play this game with anybody else but you.
Right.
Because you and I have, like, grown in this game together.
Right.
And that's not me saying I'm good at it. I just would not want to start over.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because anybody that you start over with, they're going to be starting from square one, trying to figure stuff out. So it's like you need to have somebody that, like, matches you with intelligence, matches you with the desire to play this kind of game, and somebody that's played the same amount as you for them to even be an opponent that's gonna be worth playing the game with, and not have one of you just leave completely crushed. And even as Jared talks about us growing in the game, I am not smarter than Jared, but I do figure out games faster than Jared. Jared will crush me in a game every time if it's a game we've played more than like 10 times, because he'll figure out a lot deeper strategy, but he's slower with figuring out the strategy.
10 times?
Well, don't you think it was about the 10th time that you finally beat me on this game?
In this one, yeah. In this one, it took about 10 tries.
Yeah.
It took serious willpower to keep.
There were a couple games where you didn't even get a hit in on me, and I got 3 hits in on you. So
it was really bad.
Yes. And I think that frustrated you in the game. Thank you for continuing to play, because I did enjoy it. I did enjoy the figuring it out, the thinkiness and the intelligence of it. But that makes me not want to play the game with too many other people.
Nope.
Because I wouldn't want to make them feel crushed or to figure it out faster than them.
Yeah.
I don't know. So that's my con, is that you have to have somebody that's willing to make the investment with you to play the game with. You can't just buy it because you think you'd like the game and then try to go play it with random people.
Yeah. It's tough because I think you hit on, like, I have several gripes, but my main concern is every time I walk away from this game, win or lose, and I see a similar look on your face, you look just beat. Like, you're
kind of exhausting.
And I just don't like.
But I like it. It's fine.
I know, but you're like quasi a masochist already.
Oh my goodness. Spilling all our secrets on the internet.
Wow. I don't know. Like, I have genuinely wrestled with, do I want to fight this game to get to the point where I really understand it? Because I am sure once I really understand it and know how it works, it's a blast. But I haven't gotten there yet. I don't think I'm good at this game at all. And because of that, I would say we're over 10 plays in because of how many times we played with each artist. I don't even know what our play count is at this point, because
we're more than 10 plays in.
Way above.
Oh, yeah.
But
you still don't feel like you've got a grasp of the game.
I understand the basic mechanics, but I don't feel like I'm like, oh, I know. Me and the animator, we understand each other. Like, I'm not there.
All right.
And I don't think it's designed to be. I think it's designed that you really have to learn the characters that you want to play with. I don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that understand this game way better than I do, and they're like, Chair, you're just an idiot. And that's fine. But for me, there is such a commitment at every turn on this game, whether it's opening it or playing for the first time or learning how to do it so well, that I just am like, man, is this worth it? And I hate having that question there, because there is a good game here, but learning how to get there is tough. So I just want to put that out there.
So it is an investment, and it's almost like you can decide based on the type of game it is. Like we said, it's artistic, it's thinky, it's strategic, it's got very fun aspects of the components
100%.
And the things like that, and how play works. But if you're going to buy the game, you're going to have to think that it's an investment worth making, because it is an investment.
Yeah. I don't want to go so far as to say it's a lifestyle game where, like, that's the only game you get to play, because it is contained. I mean, I want a TCG that's not a TCG, where I can just, it's everything's there, and I can play it and put it away and be done, and we're all good. And so I don't have to invest thousands of dollars to be good at it. I can just play the cards that are in the box, but it's just so much mental and time investment that I'm like,
I liked it better than the TCGs we've played.
If Anna didn't love it, I don't think I would have a need for her to stand the question. I will say that.
I'm just saying,
as much as I love it, I don't think I have the capacity to commit to that one game.
But you've been like literally for years.
I know.
Okay. So since we're just spilling all our secrets on the internet,
more secrets. Wow.
So literally for years, Jared has bought us games that are these 1v1, 1v1 card playing.
Yep.
Asymmetrical games. And this is literally the first one that I've liked. I haven't liked any of the other ones. So you're sitting here being like, oh, I like it better than the trading card games.
No, I know you do.
There's other components to it. You can do your summons, and you can do your grid work, and you can do this. Like, it makes it more interesting than just how are these cards going to work together.
So as you can hear, we're not getting rid of the game. We're going to keep it in our collection.
And you're going to play it with me?
I probably found it.
And you're going to play it with me.
We're going to play it.
Okay.
I'm not playing this game with anybody else. Like, full
stop. I'm okay with that.
Because anybody who is like, I would love to play that with you, either has never played.
What?
Or has played it a bunch and they would wipe the floor with me. So I'm like, I have no interest. Like, you and I can grow together in this
game. All right. Calling all mid-react players to have Jared
play with them. Jay is probably listening. He's like, I'll play with Jared. And I'm like, Jay, forget it. We're not playing. So, anyways.
Oh, my goodness.
This is a gripe that I will give, though. And I just, having seen a lot of games, I think it was 100% a missed opportunity to not have organizer guidance, whether it be just to get the things in the right boxes, to, I know each deck has a component list, but I don't know what those components are when I'm looking at three sheets of cardboard. The other thing I would say is...
That's true, because the components had names.
But not on the things, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why it was so confusing when I got the painter. I was like, am I supposed to have a deck? It says it has a list of the components, but I didn't know which names went with which components.
Yeah.
So, and then the other,
like, I would have almost... I would have loved a second rule book that was just focusing on components, matchups, like... Which ones match up well together? Because we've definitely run into situations where it's like, oh, this guy's got no chance. Absolutely no shot. Because the way that he matches up poorly with another artist, you're just cooked. So that would have been nice too. I mean, I do think like once you get really good at the game, anybody can play against anybody. But I would have also liked the disclaimer, you should not start by playing the painter because you're going to clap anybody that you play against.
See, I think I just figured out the painter excellently and you're jealous. That's what I think.
That's what it is. You're right. Anyways.
I think the characters are balanced.
I agree.
But I think that I figured out my character faster than you did.
And
for
even
the first
if they
plays.
Weren't, I don't think I'm smart enough to figure out that in this game. Like, I will always chalk it up to, I am not good enough. I have not figured it out.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because this game is deep.
Yeah.
And so... It's very easy to just say, okay, I haven't played it enough. I haven't played it the right way. And that's why this person's not clicking.
Yeah. But even with because I had a character later on that I played the tattooist that I was frustrated by the gameplay, specifically that I had trouble moving her and that she had all these summons that she needed to protect, but then had a lot of difficulty moving.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like that was a character flaw. I felt like I could see how she should play, and I just wasn't getting her to be able to play that way. Yeah. And so then it's am I going to commit, figure out this character to the way it needs to be, or am I going to decide, I just don't like the way this one plays, let's move on.
Yep.
Yeah.
So this game sits in a really tough spot for me. I had high, 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 high hopes going into it. And I think in a lot of ways it matched what I was looking for. But I don't know that I was ready for the commitment that comes along with that. So I don't know. Like it's really tough to say. I think you've heard us say the good and the bad of this game and what it is. I think this is one of those. I mean, obviously this is the case for every episode, but I think a lot of times it's easier to tell kind of where we fall and how you would fall on a game. And I think this one's just more complicated than that. I think you got to really decide if this is the kind of game that you want to get into and what you're getting into with that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's fair. I think, are we doing closing thoughts
right
now?
Yeah, we're wrapping up.
Yeah. Yeah. So my closing thoughts is that this is a phenomenal game. I have no complaints about the playtesting, how things work together, how the game works itself.
I think it is well done.
It is so intelligent, so deep. You could play this game 20 times and still not feel like you've mastered it. I think that makes a great game. And what are you volunteering?
I am acknowledging the truth of that statement.
So really, hopefully what this review does is it helps you say, do I want a game that's that much of a commitment and still a good game? Or do I go with a game that's less of a commitment and that I can feel like I've mastered sooner?
Yep.
That's the question you need to ask yourself with this one.
That's right. I don't normally do other game recommendations, but like one that keeps coming to mind for me, like if you want a game like this, but you want it to be much lighter and easier barrier to entry, Ashes by Plaid Hat is one that we tried that I think gives you the same idea where everything's in the box and you can just pull out what you want, or you can add expansion packs, whatever.
Yeah, but I didn't like that one. I like this one.
I know. The difference, I think there's one, the theme in this is way better in our opinion.
100%. Yeah. For what we like.
I also think this one, there were balance issues that I remember when we played Ashes, but.
But it was a much easier level of entry.
The barrier to entry is way, way lower.
Yeah.
So I only say that because I've been on the hunt for a long time for a game like this that we both enjoy. And so we'll see. We'll see what you won't, but the two of us will.
But our relationship will develop.
I'm not playing this game with anybody else. That's just what it is.
Man. Yeah. Somebody challenge him on that. He needs to play with somebody other than me so he doesn't like hate his life after every single playthrough.
I don't know if that would change anything.
Oh, man. All right.
Oh, geez. Well, thank you so much for listening, and would love your thoughts. If you have feedback or want to give us anything that you think about this game, we would love to hear from you. All the ways to get in touch with us are in the link description below. And as always, we do ask 5-star reviews on the podcast player of choice that you're using, liking and subscribing on YouTube, joining the conversation on Discord, following us on Instagram, Facebook, wherever that may be. Things of that nature, all greatly and immensely appreciated as we try to grow this podcast. Special thanks to Ashton McCaffrey for our logo. Special thanks to Anna Snyder for the outro music. And special thanks to Alexi Chistolin for the How to Play background music. Join us next week as we go much lighter as we head back over to the kids' table. No. Next week is not the kids' table. That's in 2 weeks. First, Ian and I are going to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Also a little bit lighter. So, in the meantime, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
And never stop pursuing your artistic dreams.
Yes. Goodbye.
Bye.